You thankful for a wonderful friend?
Yeah. Amen.
Like Jesus?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Appreciate God tonight in the doorway of salvation.
That's right.
That he opened for me.
Yes.
I got up this morning and had some things I needed to do, and sat down in my easy chair to get my directions, and I was headed to the VA hospital to take care of some business up there, and I kept feeling a hunger to just do something. I thought, Lord, what's going on? And all he wanted from me was to put him first. So I just opened up my Bible and began to read. I said, I'll get my Bible reading out of the way. Prayer meeting. Have my own song service. And just thank the Lord for my day. You know, I say good morning to Jesus every morning. And he's been up all night watching over me. I had a poem somewhere in my little collection, and a young man was tall and with a burden of some kind, and a friend called him and said, hey, man, won't you quit that worry and leave it alone and just turn it over to the Lord? Say, he up all night anyway. You go and get your rest. But I appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate the good songs and this wonderful friend. I was thinking this morning that I was out on a stormy sea of life. Sister McGowan, this world is certainly going through a storm, isn't it? Tragedies in this life, in this world, heartaches of all kinds. But we found a Savior. He's the master of every situation. We're talking about our best friend tonight. Said he would never leave us or forsake us. What? Now, isn't that a true friend? I often tell my youngest son, he's still hung up on this homeboy deal. Man, these dudes ain't your homeboy. Homeboy is someone that's there for you when you're broke. And you broke. You over here at my house looking for some change. Where them homeboys at, man? I said, Jacob, you need to let God be your homeboy. Dad, I ain't got time for you to preach to me right now. He don't want to hear it. So when he leave, I said, Lord, is any chance Sylvia and I got anything left in an account? Because we're going to need some mercy for these two guys. So I want to keep my account open with the Lord tonight. I appreciate his love and mercy. But I started down a thought pattern of how wonderful it was this morning for the background I came from that the Lord thought about me. My family wasn't serving God. Nobody calling on Jesus. I don't know. I can't trace my background. And I was headed to prison. I was enjoying my hippie lifestyle, my drugs and everything. And the Lord thought about me. Wow. He included me, brought me to the best thing that he's had. Sometimes when I read my Bible, I have my own song service. And I sing, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me is when he called Bill Daniels this way. Oh, God, that he selected me. But most of all, I'm glad I responded. Yeah. I struggled with it because I didn't know the leadings of the Holy Ghost. I didn't know when God was dealing with me. Had I not chosen and said, Lord, I surrender, I'd been one truly lost in this world full of sorrow. But I'm glad he's given me a power tonight. Yeah. Scripture says he's given us a power to become the sons of the living God. Right. We're headed down a pathway that's leading us to life eternal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We was on death row. But our best friend came and posted our bond. Yes, we are the free woman tonight. Yeah. Yes, we are. I appreciate the liberty to just lift my voice here tonight in church. Yeah. He could have chosen someone else. I'm glad I surrendered and responded to him tonight. Job said in about the 22nd chapter, get acquainted with him. Acquaint thyself with him and thereby live in peace. I'm glad that I got acquainted with the Lord, and I'm getting acquainted with him more and more all the time. It's just not a one-shot deal. Yeah, I know him. Oh, yeah. But I'm learning more about him all the time.
That's right.
This people taught me how to love him, how to talk to him, how to walk with him, how to trust him. I owe it all to this people.
All right, brother. Praise God.
I appreciate God tonight. I appreciate what he's shown me and his love and mercy that he has given me a chance to live for him. And I thought about as we were singing that song, where would I be? Where would I be? I've got examples. You could have been there. I've got friends that all their teeth are rotted out. They own crack cocaine. They're homeless. Some are deceased. Some of them are doing life in prison. But Bill Daniels has gotten, God set me free. He gave me a chance to live for him. I had a choice. I appreciate the love of God, and I want to hold to his loving hand tonight. Had I not surrendered my life to the Lord, I begin to think on the wonderful things that he's done for me. I didn't know in salvation that God could heal you, Sister Lynette. I didn't know about the Lord. But I met a young man that began to talk to me on the job and tell me about Jesus. And before he was over with, I was running to his workstation saying, hey, man, can you tell me some more about Jesus? I was so hungry for the Lord. Then when I came here, the Lord said, I'm going to convince you. You've had this thought in your mind that young people don't serve God. And when I got here, church house full of young people. My Lord, it was like the Lord nudged me. Just look around. What do you see? And the young people got up and gave their testimonies. And you know what? Three of my heart, they were sincere. Every last one of them to talk, they didn't act like, I didn't want to be here, but I'm here. But they talked like they had a joy of salvation. And before they got through, they had me wanting to drink from that well. Yeah, they had me wanting to take a drink from the well. They said, Jesus is still at the well. Yeah, Dub, you can get a drink. I thought, let me look this over for a little while and see. And one day I tasted of it. I thought, boy, this is wonderful. I tasted of that wonderful gift that God has. They kept telling me, hey, God has a gift for you, Dub. All you got to do is receive it.
Yes.
Just receive it. That was so difficult to me. But one night I did. I said, I want the Holy Ghost, Lord. I want this gift that you're talking about. Handed it to me. Thought, man, how am I going to get this Holy Ghost? Here's what would happen. Some services, new people in the church, Brother Tucker, he told people, get up and say something. I didn't know that, though. But he had a time allotted. He said, there's times for testimonies to be given. And my mind went to a young man that really put something on my heart. This morning, that was Brother Bruce Hoffman. And he got up and described how he came here to this church. I believe if I have my story right, he came down to visit for a weekend because his mom and dad and Kevin, they were already here. So Bruce thought he'd just come down in his buckskin jacket and his long red ponytail down to his backbone and just see what's up. Had a van with his hippie flowers all over it. I don't know how long he stayed, but he didn't go back to Hannibal, Missouri no more that way. When he went back again, he had a haircut and a nice three-piece suit, shoes shine, and had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No more hippie. The old hippie is gone, Brother Tucker would say. Old Dub is gone. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation by the love of God tonight. Oh, we have something precious tonight. There's healing in the palm hands of Jesus tonight. He's healed me. Yes, he has. I can't thank him enough for healing me of a tumor on the brain. Oh, God's been good to me, saints. I just want to serve him. I tell him a lot of times, it's probably some of you, what am I worth to you, Lord? I don't know why I'm trying to talk myself out of something. Then I remind myself that you didn't just stumble in here, but you were led here by his hands. Yeah, you didn't just come up in here and say, hey, are y'all serving? But I came in and they said, you're on holy ground, fella. And I felt it. I realized it too. The night I received the Holy Ghost, they were singing that song, take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Oh, man. Of course, you know me. I didn't know anything about this. I looked around to see who was taking the shoes. I didn't know. I was going to take mine off too. And I did. I took off my worldly shoes. Yes, I did. Well, I thank God tonight that he's our friend. Where would we be? Probably before this night is over with, something will hit your mind that you are so thankful for, that God brought you out of the world. I wasn't in religion, wasn't looking forward or nothing. Didn't even like Christian people, let alone Pentecostal people. No, don't bother me. Don't ring my doorbell. Don't bring your pamphlets by my house. I ain't got time for you. I'm doing my own thing. But now I love the people of God. I found a treasure. I found a gold mine. Hey, I got up to take prayer requests tonight. I don't know why I said all those things. Just the hunger in my heart to express my appreciation for the love of God and what he's done for me, what he's going to do. He's preparing a place for us. You know that? Yes, he is. Something wonderful. Yep. Oh, yeah. I like this scripture, and I just hadn't found a place to put it scripturally like I want to. But it says, here we go, 2 Corinthians 2:9. I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither hath it entered to the heart of man what God has in store for those that love him. That love him. And when you love something, you pursue after, don't you? You won't let nothing distract you, nothing pull you away from it. I heard some testimonies here a couple of weeks ago, and I thought some were, you know, letting us know, hey, I'm in trouble. I got family in trouble. But on the other side, I said, hey, listen, God's still good to us. And whatever you're going through, don't let anything cause you to stumble. We may not be able to say it like Paul said. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God. Nothing shall ever separate me from the love of God. I was listening to a religious program here several years ago, and this big shot doctor of theology, whatever his title was, he said some wonderful things about the Apostle Paul. And that one scripture that I just quoted, he said Paul probably wrote that from an old cold Philippian jail. You know that? A lot of God's men been locked up. You realize that? A lot of his prophets. Jeremiah did time in prison. What is world? You got a felony? They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to have nothing to do with you. They don't want you in their pulpit. They find out you've been a gangster and a crook and someone had to post your bond. Hey, will we serve someone tonight that he'll wipe your record clean and he can use you in his kingdom if you love him and want to walk after him tonight. So I just got up to give God a praise tonight. We have many needs, I'm sure, unspoken requests, several gone to the convention, the campground. Let's remember Brother and Sister Smith. And let's keep praying for Sister Watson, Sister Linda, and Sister Dolores and her family. Excuse me? Okay, she's not rushing it too fast, is she? Because we want her to get well. Okay, let's remember. And Brother and Sister Crow, all right? Brother Fritz Stewart. Okay, let's remember Brother Scotty York, Sister McGowan. Right. Okay. He's at home. Just couldn't handle him. Yes. All right. Let's remember Brother Crow. Pray that God will give him a touch and touches him for a time. Okay. Anyone else tonight have something? Just a grant. Wrong with that request. I'm here tonight because this church prayed for me. I'm here tonight because this people prayed for me. A young man I met on the job was coming to church. I said, keep praying. God give me wisdom how to fish. Brother Michael, your mother. Okay, Sister Crafter. Sister Jenny Crafter. All right. Did you want to take up the offering too? Yes. All right. Anyone else have a special request tonight? I know we all have unspoken requests on our hearts concerning some things, but God will answer. He's our answer to everything. All right. Let's stand then, and the ushers will come forth. We'll pray for these needs tonight. We are in a sure, safe place tonight, Heavenly Father, for the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those of Him. We appreciate the hand of our Savior tonight. There's healing in His hands tonight. There's joy, there's love, peace, and righteousness tonight. May God touch Brother Crow tonight in his condition. It's nothing too hard for our Savior tonight. Sister Inez Watson is praying for a miracle tonight. God's rich. He's rich in miracles tonight. He's rich in blessings tonight. He's rich in healings tonight. Oh, we trust our Savior tonight. For those that are away at the campground, may God bless the meeting there and God's people that are traveling far and near. Oh, God, bless the services there each night that they're there. Bless Brother Smith and Sister Smith. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. We appreciate the gospel that God has brought to our hearts and lives. The healing hand of God will touch others here in this assembly tonight. Oh, what a mighty God we serve tonight. We can put our trust and our care in Him. He said, cast all your burdens on me because I care for you tonight. Sweet name of Jesus tonight, oh Lord. Sister Abraham's prayer request for our family tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you the praise and glory tonight for all that you're doing in the hearts and lives of your people, and we trust that God will soon answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord.
Though men may strive Please. by summer's rain. A heart grown cold will warm and trod with life anew. The master's touch will bring the glow again. How big is
praise God.
What a privilege.
What a privilege to serve the God of heaven, God of the whole earth, has all power in his hands. My Lord. And it's impossible, you know, as Brother Daniel's quoted that scripture, to know the goodness that God has in store for us. I was thinking, somebody mentioned that over the weekend, I think, about if they knew everything that God had in store, they may not want to know. Might not could bear it all, the truth of God's plan for us. You know, there's been times in my life where I've prayed that God would move people out of the way. You ever prayed like that? I prayed a prayer like that. There's a country singer. I'm not promoting him, but he wrote a song that he thanked God for unanswered prayers. And there's been moments in my life where I've prayed prayers, and I'm glad they didn't get answered. You know what I mean? There's been times that I've prayed and asked God, petitioned God to move on my behalf, and he didn't, and I'm thankful. It's easy, I suppose, for the Bible says that every man is first in his own cause, but his neighbor will come and search him out. Every man seemeth right in his own eyes, but his neighbor will come and search him out. You know, sometimes that it's we get persuaded, set in our mind, you know, like the Apostle Peter. he told the Lord. The Lord told him, "I'm going away." And he told the Lord, he said, "I'll never leave you. I'll not leave you one time." And Jesus looked him, I'm sure, square in the eye. And I'm sure that he didn't take any pleasure in it, but he said, "Peter, before this night's over, you'll deny me three times." And, of course, you know the story. You know he did. And the determination that we have, and I admire Peter. I admire his determination to go all the way, as far as he could go with the Lord. He went so far that he was warming his hands by the fire. He was so close to the situation that he did not want to turn away from the Lord. And, you know, there's moments, we've all experienced them, where you're going to be betrayed. Your health or your mental state, your circumstance is going to betray you. And you're going to find yourself on the wrong side. You're going to find yourself making a decision that you didn't mean to make. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. I'm glad today that the Lord has mercy on me. That He sees man. You know, Jesus, He healed a blind man. And He asked him, He said, "How do you see?" He said, "I see men as trees." And then He reached down and He touched his eyes again. And He said, "Now, how do you see?" And He said, "I see men as men." Do you know that there's nothing hidden from God today? There's not one thing hidden from the Lord today. He sees us as we are. He knows us from our strengths and our weaknesses. Blessed be His name. And because of that, the Bible says that we have a high priest who was tempted. He suffered affliction, yet as we do. And He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There were times and moments in His life where I'm not going to go so far as to say that He sinned, but He found Himself in a wanting situation. He found Himself in a moment where He needed more. He needed comfort. He needed assurance. He needed a word from the Lord. That seems a little funny to think that Jesus needed a word from the Lord, but He did. He needed it. And of course, we know if you look through the Scriptures, you look through the Psalms, and you look through the Proverbs, I'm convinced that those words were written. They're written, of course, for our admonition, but I'm convinced that, more importantly, they were written for His. That He relied on the Scriptures that He read and learned as a young child. And they brought peace to His life. They settled Him. They rooted Him. They established His going. My Lord, what a wonderful thing we have in this wonderful book that the Lord has provided us. Whether I was talking to a man the other day, and he was telling me that he was in church, and he was talking about Scripture. The preacher went to Scripture so-and-so, and he said, "And I looked it right up on my iPhone." This is a guy that had a flip phone just a few years ago. I patted him on the back. I said, "Good for you. That makes me excited. I'm happy to hear that." You know, he wasn't intimidated by, you know, the technology. Yeah, he said, "I like it." He said, "I can go to the Scripture and I can look up the words." And, you know, he was getting something out of it. Well, however you find the Word of God, you know, if we were living 500-600 years ago, 1,000 years ago, if you wanted to find the Word of God, you had to hear it through a preacher. You didn't have a book to read. They might have then, but 1,000 years, 1,500 years ago, the Bible tells us that this book was chained. It was bound in Sodom and Egypt. And we know that the Word of God was written in Latin, and not everybody could read Latin. In fact, very few people could. And so the only way that they could get the Scripture was to hear somebody teach it to them, to preach to them. And now today we live in a world where there's so much information available to us. There's not, I've said this before, there's not just about anything you couldn't fix without, you know, you go on YouTube and learn it. You know, there's just about anything you can see somebody taking apart, somebody fixing this or that, or instructions on how to do something. And I told somebody the other day, I said, we live in a world today where we've got so much information. I mean, I think it's the University of London offers their whole curriculum all the way through their master's degrees. Every bit of it, free, totally. It's totally free. Every bit of it's free online. Every bit of it, every course they have is totally free. The only thing it costs is that you have to pay to take the test to get your diploma. But we live in a world today where we've got so much information available to us. You can become a master mechanic. You can become a master chemist. You can become, you know, you might not find too many people let you experiment on them, but you could even become a doctor, I'm sure, by learning how to, you know, online. Might come closer to becoming a master vet. But there's so many things that you can learn, you can glean and take in available to us today. There's so much information, and as a society, all we care about is superficial emptiness. Just stuff that doesn't amount to nothing. We've got more information available today, and we're lost. We're drowning in a sea of non-information. We're drowning in a sea of nothingness, of stuff that just absolutely doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Would never make anything matter to anybody except just entertainment. My Lord. I'm not suggesting we go back to the days when the only way you found the Word of God was through a preacher. But I am suggesting that we don't surrender our intellect. We don't surrender our time. That we don't surrender our energy, our focus on stuff that won't bring life eternal. Don't surrender your stuff on things that won't bring life eternal. Set your affections on things above, the Bible says. Build up your treasures in things above, the Bible says. My Lord, don't you know as a society, as a nation, as a country, this countries thrive because families, they keep going. They keep going. This country thrived because a man met a woman. They got married. They had children. They plowed the land. They fed their neighbors. They took care of each other. They had more children. They had more children. They educated each other. They continued to grow. They continued to develop. They continued to worship together and stay together. They continued to operate together. Next thing you know, you went from a family to a community, to a city, to a county, to a state, to a country. You know, the life is intended to operate like that. It takes a man and a woman to have a child. Anything else, you got to involve another person or another party. Don't lose focus on the fact that God is a family God. And He expects us to take care of the family. That's why education is so important. Good health, good, you know, nourishment, good training, good support. And it's hard. You take that framework right there where you've got God as a family God. And Brother Smith is working on us. And I feel that pressure. Honestly, I don't always understand. I don't always know what I'm supposed to do, where I'm supposed to pick up the load, where I'm supposed to bear up under that burden that he's talking about. But I do know this. We have a responsibility to produce children out of this church. That's our job. It is our job to teach and train the children and the young people in this church. It's our job not to be so distracted and so consumed with ourselves that we forget that there's young people here that haven't heard the doctrine of the Godhead. There's young people here that haven't heard the doctrine of the devil subject. There's young people here that don't understand what it means to live in carnality. There's things that are important to us, but if we're not careful, we'll be so consumed in the things that matter to us that we don't train and teach and raise up the children that are beside us. God, help us. Give us wisdom, Lord. Praise God. I need you. I do. I know that. But even with that being said, I also recognize that there's moments where people go through times of bitterness. I was reading in 1 Samuel. And I was reading about what Hannah went through and the pressure that was she was under. The torment that she experienced at the hands of the people that were close to her. She said, you read about Hannah, and she was married to a man. His name was Elkanah, and he had another wife. Her name was Penai, and she had plenty of children. Hannah had no children. You guys know the story. And every year they went to the house of the Lord in the seventh verse. But she was so bitter. She was so, and I'm not saying this in a word of condemnation, because sometimes you just can't help it. You wake up sometimes and you wonder, how did I get to this point? How did my mind get so clouded that I'm at this point? But she was. She was so bitter. She was so consumed with her sorrow. It said that she didn't even eat. She was grieved. And her husband, he was wringing his hands. He didn't know what to do with her. He said, am I not better to you than 10 sons? He was at a state of perplexity. He was at a state where he was just like, what do I do with this woman? Now, guys, don't raise your hands, but I know every one of y'all felt that way. And women have felt that way about their husbands, I'm sure. And so she says, she rose up, the ninth verse, Hannah rose up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they drank. And Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she was weeping. Here was her prayer. She vowed a vow. She said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying, Eli marked her mouth. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but not her voice was heard. Her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk, thought she had been drinking. You know, if we perceive people by the sin of the eye, see, we're at a bit of a disadvantage here. Because, for example, let's just say I come up here and I come up here and I throw my hands up because I need prayer, right? And everybody's like, well, what's wrong with Nathan? There must be something wrong with him. If he's up there getting prayed for, there must be something wrong with him. Well, maybe there's not, or maybe there is something wrong with him, but maybe it's not wrong maybe it was something beyond my control. Maybe it's not some great sin or something where I've been an offense to somebody. Maybe I just need an answer from God. But see, we're at a bit of a disadvantage because we build emotion into how we worship sometimes, and we don't separate the fact that sometimes we just need to worship. Sometimes we just need to yield over to God and surrender my thoughts, everything about me, and just let God know I love Him
And whatever comes my way, I just want him to know that I love him. Glory. That's why we like going to meetings. You can go to a meeting and you can get lost. You can get lost in the prayer line. You can get lost getting prayed for or worship. It's easy. There's not anybody looking at you. Nobody's, you know, got zeroed in on you and thinking about you. I'm going to tell you, though, there was a night I was visiting this UPC church in Fayetteville. And it didn't, I tell you, I've visited a lot of Pentecost churches, and I'm not afraid to do it now. I've enjoyed it through the years. And one thing I always enjoy about it, UPC churches is the way the organist works the organ while they're preaching. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but it's awesome. I just got to tell you, it's a lot of fun. And anyway, I didn't have a great need in my life, Brother Daniels. But I'm going to tell you something. God gave me the Holy Ghost. I'm a spirit-filled child of the Most High God. And they were worshiping, and I just threw my hands up, and I got to worshiping with them. And you know, I had a great time. I had a great time. And they might have looked at me and said, well, what's wrong with this guy? No, they didn't. They were worshiping too. And I'm not saying that we don't. I'm just relaying an experience to you. I just happened to be there that night. And so here Hannah, she was praying, and she had a need, but nobody really appreciated her need. She was being tormented by her I don't know what you call it, husband's other wife. And she's tormented with this idea of not having children. So even the priest looked at her, like, what is wrong with this woman? Her lips moved, but there was no sound. Thought she was drunk. She wasn't drunk, but she was so overcome with bitterness. She had a need in her life. And, you know, we reach that point. Like I said, you find yourself, you think, well, how did I get to this place in my life? She got to that point where she didn't care who saw her. And I get that. I've been at those places in my life where I didn't care. I didn't care if the president himself walked in. I needed a touch from God. I was seeking it. I didn't care if I had bubble gum in my mouth when I was speaking in tongues, and I did. They said it looked like popcorn, just going in and out. I didn't care. I needed a touch from the Lord. I wanted that gift that he had for me. Just like that little woman, she didn't care. She didn't care how low she had to get. She didn't care if her knees got scuffed up in the dirt or if her dress, if the tail of her dress got dirty. She didn't care if she got mud or dirt under her fingernails. She didn't care if she ingested a mouthful of dust as Jesus was walking by. My Lord, she didn't care because she needed a touch from him. And she reached out to him, thank God, and touched the hem of his garment. Woo! You know, somebody walked beside that woman and said, what are you doing down there? And she didn't care. She didn't care. She had a need. Well, Hannah had a need, and she was praying, and the priest thought that she was drunk. She said, count me not a daughter of Belial. She said, I'm not drinking. She said, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. She said, I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink. She said, I've poured out my soul before the Lord. My Lord, I know that we'll see days. We'll see days of desperation in this nation, in our personal lives, where we'll pour out our spirit before the Lord. I know that. But you know what? I don't necessarily want to wait till then. I don't want to just wait until, because the reason is I'm missing out. Jesus told his disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I leave you a comforter. I don't want to miss out on the comfort. You know, how many of y'all like your easy chair? I'm sure every one of y'all got a favorite spot in your house where when you get home, you slip your shoes off and you find, you know, if you got time, you find that place. Brother Daniels told us he's got one tonight. He found his easy chair today. Don't we all? We're all looking for comfort. We're all looking for affirmation, for confirmation, for relief, peace of mind. she rose up. They rose up early in the morning. They worshiped and they left. And she came home. And guess what? Y'all know the story. She had a child. She had a baby boy. And she weaned him. And she took him. And she gave him to the Lord. Now, here's the part I wanted to get to. I want to read her prayer. I want to read what she said in her victory, in her moment of victory. 1 Samuel 2. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." Praise God. She said, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. There is neither any rock like our God. She said, "Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." This woman found herself, she went from sorrow and bitterness, that she found herself in a moment of triumph. But it wasn't because of something she did. It wasn't because she was resting in her own strength and knowledge. It was because God is God. It was because God is God, and there's no other like Him. She said, "The bows of mighty men are broken. They that stumble are girded with strength. They that were full have hired themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased or filled. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many is waxed feeble." She's reconciling in her mind that you may be Goliath, Brother Weiniger, and I sure enjoyed your words the other night. You may be Goliath. You may carry the biggest sword on the battlefield. You may have, the heaviest armor ever known to man. And you may be looking right down the barrel of a little rooty fella named David with all he's got is a sling and a pocket full of rocks. But I'm going to tell you something. When God is on your side, hallelujah, then you can destroy Goliath. You can go from having no children to children. You can go from being hungry to being fed. You can go from being lost to being saved. Praise God. You can go from bitterness to triumph. And that's what she did. She said, "The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and He bringeth up." See, that's what makes Him God. All this other's vanity. All this nothingness that we surround ourselves with. All this pomp and prestige, all this arrogancy that we find ourselves resting upon, it's all vanity. It's all nothingness. God, help us. God, give us wisdom. God, give us the strength and the understanding on how to help people, to deliver them out of the depths of sin, thank God, out of addiction, out of carnality, out of frustration and bitterness, out of sorrow, my Lord, out of sickness. God, help us. The Bible says that when the disciples were walking down the road, that they're very shadow-hilled people as they walk by. He's the God of heaven, hallelujah. Woo! Let His name be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God. She said that the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes. My Lord, there's been times you don't even, you can tell about them. I'd like to hear about them. But there's been times when all of us have felt like the beggar on the dunghill. I could tell you stories about my personal life, things that I did, situations I found myself in, and I'm just wondering, this isn't what I want to be. This isn't who I want to be. This isn't what I want out of life. Well, how did I get here? I remember one time, and I'm ashamed to tell this to an extent, but it's such an illustration of how low and just, you know, my God, help us. I'm going to tell this story first of another guy. I learned today, just today, I've known a guy that would be classified as as just totally living in immorality. I've known this guy my whole life. I just found out today. I went to school with him all the way up. Just found out today that when he was 8 years old, his father committed suicide. I didn't know that. I didn't know what he was going through growing up as a teenage boy with no dad in the house, with a father, with the knowledge that his father had committed suicide. I had no clue. It didn't necessarily help me understand him any differently, but I'll tell you what it did. It expanded my compassion a little bit. The world we live in, we've got children in our society today whose parents are coming home from war, and they can't even function. They can't even be a parent. They can't stand the noise. They can't stand the confusion. They can't even rest. They don't even want to see their children. I read stories about people that absolutely it's like, I can't handle that. Go, leave me alone. Children today that are growing up because their parents were killed at war, or because their parents are drug addicts, or because their parents are, you know, have other addictions that have just totally changed them from being a functioning person, responsible adult, to just a blob, just a life of nothingness. God, what? And I'm not saying all that. I mean, I'm thankful that God has pulled me out of that. Like Brother Daniel said, I could have been in the same situation. I remember as a 12, I was younger than that. I was either 10 or 11. And we had gone to a friend's house. And if my mother was here, I wouldn't tell the story, just in the sense I wouldn't want it to reflect poorly on her. But she was at work and doing the best she could. We went to a friend's house. They parents had a bottle of Seagram's Seven whiskey in the cabinet. Well, I never had anything like that. Everybody sampled theirs, and I did. I just drunk it, you know. And I if they didn't want it, I drank it. If they didn't, you know, if they weren't, they couldn't finish theirs, I did. I plastered the walls. I got so sick. I staggered home. I was so nauseated and drunk and just in such a pathetic state of mind. And I was only 11 years old. And it didn't stop there. God had mercy on me. I'm telling you, God had mercy on me. I have a history in my family of alcoholics. That could have just been a turning point for me, but it wasn't. I don't know. I can't explain it. I get frustrated. Hey, I get frustrated with myself and my inadequacies and the things that I wish I could do and the things that I wanted to do and never did and the things that I should have done and didn't do. You know, all those things, I get perplexed and wonder, how did I get here and why didn't I take care of that, or why did I say that when I didn't mean to? You know, just like y'all, I'm sure you go through these moments where you just find yourself in a moment of frustration. I'm going to tell you, we can try to rest on our own strength. We can try to rest and take be admired by our own abilities. But it's not because of us. It's not by might, and it's not by power. It's by God's Spirit. It's by His Spirit. It's by His Spirit, thank God. It's by His Spirit, hallelujah. It's by His Spirit this church will be built. He said, except the Lord build a house, they that labor, laboreth in vain. Is he building your house today? Brother Smith told us in Bible study, I think it was. Maybe it was Sunday morning in service. I'm a little confused right now. But he said that your body, it's Sunday. He said your body is a temple of the Lord. I got something out of that, by the way. There's more to that for me anyway. That your body, that you're the spirit, you're the temple of the Lord. He's wanting to build you up. How does he do that? He does it one word at a time, one experience at a time, one song at a time. We're all different. We're all different. We all look different. We all act different. We all like different things. But that's what makes us unique, and that's why we enjoy being around each other. That being said, sometimes we have to turn loose of ourselves. We have to turn loose of the thing that we love the most. That's what Hannah did. Now consider this a minute. She was in bitterness because she had no children. She had no children. She was being mocked and ridiculed and made fun of on a daily basis because she had no children. She prayed and she said, God, if you will give me a child, I'll give him back to you. I'll lend him to you. She turned loose of the very thing, the very answer to all of her problems, the very thing that she was being so tormented about, the very thing that she was being haunted by, the fact that she was childless. God gave her a son, and the very thing that brought her peace of mind, she gave it back to him. She didn't just give it back to him. She walked away and left him to be raised by someone else. I'd like to do that with my life. I'd like to do that with the things that I hold the tightest. I'd like to. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying that I will tomorrow, but I'm working on it. I'd like to just turn loose of the very things that I hold the closest to me and put them in the hands of the Lord. You know what? If the Lord build a house, you're not going to labor in vain. If He's building your house, if He's directing your steps, if He's giving you instruction, Brother Daniels, I appreciate what you said. It encouraged me and gives me instruction. When you hear that still small voice, when I hear that still small voice, it would say, whoa, you need to sit down and read. You need to just forget about, you know, all this nothingness that you've wasted your time with, and you need to get your mind on me for a minute. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Said here that he raiseth up the poor of the dust, out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. That's us today, saints of God. We're going to inherit the throne of glory. Praise God. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall be thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king, and exalt the horn of his anointed. That was her prayer. That was her prayer. She said that the Lord's, that he will keep the feet of his saints. I want to get my shoes off. I do. I want him to direct my steps. I want him to show me, you know, that's so important. What gets, when you examine your physical body, what part of your body gets where you're going first? Your foot.
Your feet get there first. You follow the leading of your feet. Now, I realize that it's, you know, the mind comes into play. I understand that. It's an allegory. I want him to direct my steps. I want him to give me wisdom. If I find myself in a moment of bitterness, have you found yourself there before? In a moment where you just can't, you're just so perplexed that you don't even know what to do. Praise God. Let him keep your feet. Let him keep the feet of the saints. Let him lift you up off the dunghill. Let him feed you. All these things that entertain us, that supplant our blessings, they seem valuable. They seem important. You know, I heard a saying one time. They were talking about an addict. They said an addict is someone looking for Jesus. I want you to consider this, if you would. The next time that you meet an addict, the next time you talk to an addict or you have an experience with someone who's an addict, whatever it may be, consider that there's somebody who's looking for Jesus, but they're just settling for a cheap substitute. That addict that you know, that you talk to, maybe you work with, or maybe you see them on a daily basis or every now and then, that addict is a Christian, is a potential child of God. That's somebody who's looking. They're looking for something. They're looking for peace. They're looking for something to satisfy them. There's a song, I sing it every now and then, called Satisfied with Jesus. Satisfied completely. But Master, are you satisfied with me? And I'm not satisfied with the Lord. It's not because of something he's done. It's because I have my faith put in the wrong things. Now, I'll say that may sound a little different. I have all the faith in the world. When I go out, put the key in the ignition, fire up the truck, I have faith it's going to start. You know why? Because it's got fuel. It's got a good battery in it. The engine's running strong. There's no reason for it not to. It got me here. Right? And if something goes wrong, I just have faith that I'll figure out a way to fix it or I'll call Joe. Right? That's right. That's what I say. I have faith. I have all the faith in the world. I have faith that the sun's going to come up in the morning. I have faith that my job's going to be there when I get there at 8 o'clock or 8:05 or what time I get there. Moment of truth. But there's been times, like when it was 21 degrees and I was out on I-40 and that old Toyota that I was driving just laid over and the engine wasn't going no more. I didn't have faith in that old truck no more. And I started praying. I said, God, it's cold out here. What am I going to do now? My old truck died. You know, I kind of liken it to, you know, an old cowboy riding across the desert and the old horse just lays over and dies. What are you going to do now? Pray for an oasis. That's what I'd be doing. And walking. I'd be putting legs to my prayers. But so I say that. Sometimes I say, I've got all the faith I'll ever have right now. I just don't always put it in the Lord. And I hope that's not, I don't mean that to be offensive, and I'm sure that my faith will grow in the Lord. But what I'm saying is, the more my faith grows in him, the less my faith will be in other things. Can I put it like that, where you comprehend what I'm saying? I want my faith to grow in the Lord. I want your faith to grow in the Lord. If you find yourself in bitterness, if you find yourself on the dunghill, even if you don't, there's a scripture. There's a scripture, it's in Ecclesiastes, that tells us, oh man, it might be Ecclesiastes 9, but tells us to rejoice in the time of prosperity. I think it used that word prosperity. I'm pretty sure that it was. I think it said rejoice in prosperity. It clicked with me today. This time last year, I was riding high. We had been to Birmingham, and man, it just like the doors of everything just opened wide up. I got free tickets to this and free tickets to that and food for my family for 3 or 4 days. And I enjoyed it, every bit of it. I was thankful on the way home. I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to be thankful for what God has done for us. Because He did. He just opened doors. Did you find that? Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. See, we always quote the end of that. That's how our mind works. That's how we hurt ourselves. We focus, if we're not careful, we'll focus too much on the negative. We'll focus on the sad side. We'll focus too much on the things that keep us down. But in the day of prosperity, thank you, Brother Phil, find that. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. My Lord, don't you enjoy? I'm glad. I got to tell you, I was missing Wednesday night church. I was missing the songs. We have a wonderful band and song leaders. I really appreciate them. Our piano players, our musicians, singers. I enjoy it. I like it. I was missing that wonderful Wednesday pick me up. You know, that hump day. You know, clothesline service. I was kind of missing that, and so I'm happy for this change. This schedule change, I like coming to church and I like going home joyful. I want you to feel joyful tonight. I want you to feel like you've got hope. You may be in the depths of despair, if you'll pardon me for saying it like that. You may be so down and heavy with your burdens that you're praying and your mouth's moving and there's no words coming out. My Lord, I want you to know that there's a miracle in the making for you, thank God. The Father is working one even now. What a great song. You know who used to sing it? Brother Cornelson used to sing that, I think. Him and his wife. I think I got that right. There's a miracle that God has something for every one of us, praise God. Whether it's in this life or the life to come, He's not going to leave us empty-handed. He's not going to forsake us, as Brother Daniel so aptly put. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave you or forsake you, hallelujah. Praise God, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. Woo, hallelujah. You can prosper in the Lord, thank God. You've been called to salvation. You've been plucked from the muck and the mire. You've been plucked up from the dust of the earth. You've been filled with the sweet Holy Ghost, hallelujah. You've been given the Word of God. You've been given treasures, praise God, that most people don't even begin to comprehend. Woo! We're prosperous tonight. Hallelujah. I was listening to some of the camp meeting, and if you're interested, you can. I won't take everybody's time, but if you want to talk to me after church, if you don't know how, you can watch some of it online. Some of the camp meetings being broadcast, it's through a small lens, but I didn't watch it, but I was listening to it. I was listening to the band song. I couldn't help but smile. I love this. I love this people. It makes me want to have been at the campground. And, you know, I have my reasons, you know. But anyway, when I heard that band kick off, boy, it just, you know, and see them guys at work, they don't know. They don't know what I'm talking about. There's some things you can't explain. My Lord, but when you feel it, when that moment of joy, when that inspiration comes up, it wouldn't matter how bad the world is. When you feel that joy and this vision comes alive in your life like it did in mine, my Lord. You know, why they say wild horses couldn't keep me from going. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you're interested in that, I can tell you how I accomplished it anyway. After church, we are scheduled to have a work day Saturday, is my understanding, 8:30. And I assume we'll still be working on this house here, Brother Mark. got in mind. So be prepared for that Saturday at 8:30. We are having our youth meeting. I know there's been some question about, you know, are we having it, are we not having it, but we, per the text I got tonight, we are having our youth meeting as scheduled. So keep that in mind. No changes on that. Dinner day is Sunday. We will not be having service here Saturday night. That, if you didn't get that, our schedule has changed that much. Yes, Brother Stewart. I'll have to look, or if somebody knows, right off. Say it again. That's July the 23rd through the 25th. Okay. All right. Seems like there's another announcement to be made. Tickets for the breakfast. That's what he said. We'll just... Yeah, that's right. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Even if we just have to wait till Sunday to buy them, I'm buying a ticket. I'm buying at least six of them. You know what I mean? Because we're going to eat. Oh, that was it. I wanted to remind you that we're fasting for Sister Inez Watson in her situation. So keep that in mind. Don't lose sight of that. Sister Durham is in Republic Springfield waiting on a baby, so we want to be mindful of her and Terry and Jacob in addition to it, right? It is Terry, right? Yep. And the addition to that family. Alright, any other things that we need to make mention, Sister Crafton? I don't know if a day was set through this fast a meal. Yeah. It hasn't been decided yet. It hasn't been decided. Oh, I was going to mention, too, that the Thompson family, they're on vacation. They're up in my hometown. I'm kind of jealous. Sister Fisher. Old age kicking in. All right. Remember Brother Dotson in prayer. All right. Well, if there's not anything else, let's all stand and be dismissed and give thanks to the Lord. Praise God. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful, Lord, that you reached down your hand, plucked us out of the depths of sin, plucked us out of the miry clay, dear God, and delivered us, Lord, and brought us into this wonderful place. Oh, hallelujah. Let us be joyful, Lord, in this prosperity that you brought upon our lives, the truth, the spirit that you've given us, the joyfulness that you've placed in our hearts, the healings, the deliverance, oh God. Oh God, how rich we are, hallelujah, because of you. Praise God. Praise God. Be with those on the campground. Bless their meeting, Lord, dear Lord Jesus. Bless their minds and their songs and their spirits, and bring healings and deliverance. Praise God. Those that are sick and out of town, be with them. Go with us this week, dear Lord, as we go in your name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good night. Good night, everybody.